Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovias. Football's back. Is gambling ever going to start in this state? All of that and more. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? What's Trending brought to you by Geico. You got a choice of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
Stop me if you've heard this before. Shohei Ohtani had a big game for the Angels, Joe. Hit two of the team's seven solo home runs. Well, surely they won. No, they didn't.
No, because it's the Angels.
The Angels being the Angels set a major league record for home runs in a loss with seven yesterday, including two by Shohei Ohtani. Now, how in the world can the Angels really be this inept, Joe? They have Ohtani, who is the two-way player, the new Babe Ruth, the modern Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
They have Mike Trout, who's unbelievable. And I guess, well, they just figured they didn't need anybody else. Hence their lot in life right now, which is for Ohtani and Trout to set some sort of record that's never been set before or hasn't been since the 20s of the 1900s, and then just turn around and lose.
Is this the equivalent of being house poor? Like, essentially, I think if you're not sure with what I'm referencing, is that you buy this big, gorgeous house, but there's nothing in the house, thus making it.
You have like a lawn chair in the kitchen. And
yeah.
A pop-up table.
And you're like, you spent so much money on the house, and it looks great from the outside. Man, I'm in. I got this thing. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute. I got nothing in the house, and it makes it like somewhat unlivable, and it defeats the entire purpose. I don't know. I don't know if that analogy works, but it's impressive that the Angels have two generational talents on their roster, and they've done jack squat with it.
44-61 on the season. They lost to the A's, who are a team that is actively tanking.
Mm-hmm.
Actively.
So the Angels with these guys, I mean, I know Trout's been dealing with injury issues and things like that, but you got Shohei Ohtani. They're 24 games back in their division, 12 games out of the wild card. It's just that terrible for them. Seven home runs. And making it even more hilarious is that you got seven home runs and not a single one of them.
They're all solo shots.
Not a single one of them.
They can't get it.
Was a multi-run. They're all solo shots. Just brutal, man. All right, next up.
Number four.
So, Bryson DeChambeau was on Fox News. He was with Tucker Carlson. And he was on with Tucker Carlson because Tucker Carlson was just at the LIV Golf event at Bedminster, Trump's course. And the LIV Golf golfers, Phil Mickelson and 10 others, have sued the PGA Tour because they feel that they don't feel like they have to deal with the consequences of their own actions. The PGA Tour said, if you are going to leave for the LIV Golf Tour, there will be consequences. We warned you about that. And now a federal lawsuit alleges that the PGA Tour carefully orchestrated a plan to defeat LIV Golf. Well, yes, technically, when you have a competitor, that's what you want to do. You want to beat them at this game. And the complaint also seeks a temporary injunction that would pause suspensions. This is important because they want to be allowed to compete in the FedEx Cup playoffs that begin next weekend in Memphis. This is a statement from the lawsuit. The tour's unlawful strategy has been both harmful to players and successful in threatening LIV Golf's otherwise promising launch. Yes, that's the point. The PGA Tour does not want LIV Golf to succeed. They want to be the premier golf league. This would be like getting mad at the NFL for, I don't know, putting competitive practices in to defeat a compete. Oh, wait, have I seen this before? Yes, I have. Yet nobody is screaming that the NFL is being unfair. The other thing that makes this entire lawsuit hysterical to me is that in no way, shape, or form have these golfers been harmed. They're being compensated above market value to participate in this tour. That's why they left in the first place, because they're cashing in without having to really compete at these events that have no cuts. So what are you whining about? Oh, that's right. If you're not on the PGA Tour, you might not have access to some marquee events. Not having access to marquee events might cut into your endorsement deals because they want you to be seen with their logos on them. Regardless, Bryson DeChambeau went on with Tucker Carlson and had the worst analogy he could ever come up with.
You have a pizza shop that's been in existence for 50 years, and all the customers go to, and it's a great product. All of a sudden, a new pizza shop opens up, right? And they start paying the customers to come eat at their place. And that pizza is potentially a little bit better.
All right, pause. Okay, what's the problem?
They start paying their customers.
I'm really at a loss as to where the problem is here. Where are we going with this? So, okay, this new pizza joint shows up, arguably has better pizza than the one that's been around for 50 years, and they're paying you to eat the pizza? Okay.
Well, what do you need to go back to the other pizza place for?
You're good, right? I got better pizza, and I'm getting paid for it.
You're getting paid for it.
Hell yeah, man. I'm never going back to that other pizza place. Who cares? Leave them in the dust. They'll go out of business. But Bryson DeChambeau continues.
And that pizza is potentially a little bit better of a pizza, right? And then all of a sudden, that original pizza house goes, if you go over there, we're banning you from ever coming back to our, you know, pizza shop. What's wrong with that economic model?
Huh?
That does seem short-sighted.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have been the only pizza shop in town, if you've had a monopoly.
Correct.
That's probably not allowed.
Is there such a thing as a monopoly on pizza? No, there's not. So why would you ever want to go back? And they banned you. I would go, cool. I never wanted to go back to your place anyway. Because he ain't paying me to eat your pizza. And the pizza's better over here. So if LIV Golf is better than the PGA Tour and they're paying you more money, why would you want to go back to the PGA Tour? What does it matter to you then? It doesn't make any sense.
Nothing about it makes sense. Bryson DeChambeau, my goodness.
I mean, I know he's technically like the scientist or whatever.
You know, supposed to be, but he never graduated from SMU. He's got plenty of time for that now, by the
cool.
way.
Cool. Yeah, that is a good point. This guy's supposedly like one of the smarter golfers on the tour using the worst possible analogy you ever could. No. See, the problem with your analogy is you're coming at it from a customer perspective. You are not a customer, though. You're an independent contractor. And the tour basically said, hey, you as an independent contractor, if you go participate in this other tour, we're not going to allow you to participate in our tour. Why is this so hard to comprehend? Did they think they were just going to be able to get away with it? Of course they did. Of course they did. But all of this, all of me ripping Bryson DeChambeau for the worst analogy that I've ever heard involving pizza, all of this is moot. If the Masters is cool with the LIV Golf runaway guys participating in Augusta.
And they're not. So, there you go. You'll know how this will end. That's why they're suing, actually. They seem to have some evidence that the head of the Masters mm-hmm. had tried to convince the PGA Tour that you can't let these guys go to LIV, and there was some coercion there.
Yeah. Too bad.
Yeah, it's not like you were forced out or you're unemployed. You are on a tour now that is paying you way above your market value.
And, too bad.
And you're not even having to compete for that money.
The old Don Draper. That's what the money is for. Next up.
Number three.
All right, so college football season practice. It just started, right?
Yes, just started this week.
But Nick Saban is already in mid-season form because after two practices now, he was asked about injuries, Joe. And, well, he's not having any of it.
Wrong with him, or... Yeah, I do. Look, we're going to have guys that are able to practice and not able to practice on a daily basis. And we're not going to have an injury report every day about who practiced and who didn't practice.
He's already on level 11. Okay. So. Joey Molinaro is a guy who has kind of made his way on the mm-hmm. on the internet. One of the things he does really well is a Nick Saban impersonation. Well, this is even before Saban gave his classic Saban, you know, I'm not talking about injury reports every day. This is Joey. If Nick Saban won the Powerball, if he won the $1 billion, can you even tell the difference between Joey and Saban?
Okay, we'll find out.
Well, I'm not too thrilled about it, to be honest.
It's pretty good.
I think that it sets a bad precedent, a bad example for all these players. You got a room full of 18, 21-year-old kids in there,
it's the
and now they're going to look and say, oh, I can just get lucky and become a millionaire. without having to work for it, without having to put in an honest day's work or earn it, they can be fat, rich, and happy. All right? I don't want them thinking that they can pull a ping pong ball or a ticket or a flyer, have their number called, and all of a sudden they're going to be national champions. All right? That's not what we teach here at this program. And then you look on top of that, the government going to come in, they're going to take over $800 million of it. Everybody's going to want to be a friend. Miss Terry going to want to have people over to talk about it. More TV interviews I got to do with every one of you. So frankly, I don't really know what we're celebrating.
It's when he does
play the actual Saban clip again, though. And the beginning of the Saban clip is him as a reporter asking him about a certain player and their injury.
You know what's wrong with
Cameron? Yeah, I do. Look, we're going to have guys that are able to practice and not able to practice on a daily basis. And I'm not giving it, we're not going to have an injury report every day about who practiced and who didn't practice.
I'm so grumpy.
Very grumpy.
It's too early in the season to be that grumpy.
No. He's locked in. He's locked in. Next up.
Number two.
The last time we checked in with sports wagering here in the state of North Carolina, it was essentially dead on arrival. They got gutted. They had to go back to the drawing board, and it resets the process to hopefully getting gambling here in the state of North Carolina legally sometime in 2023. Brian Murphy, WREL.com, WRELSportsFan.com, our sports investigative reporter, joined us earlier today on the program to talk about the new tactic that's taking place with those at the NCGA and with those who head up the professional sports franchises in the state. We're talking about the Carolina Hurricanes here locally. We're talking about the Charlotte Hornets and the Carolina Panthers. And let's not forget the big golf events that come through here in North Carolina. The Wyndham's going on right now, for instance, or when the PGA Championship comes through or the U.S. Open. So legalized sports wagering means money. It helps the bottom line. And it looks like being nice has gone away. Initially, all of last year, the understanding was that the folks at the Carolina Hurricanes or David Tepper with the Carolina Panthers were trying to educate. They were trying to educate the NCGA on what legalized sports wagering could do for them. It didn't go through. Looks like it fell on deaf ears. They didn't understand. So now they've turned up the heat on, hey, guys, you're kind of screwing us right now. And we're not going to be able to stay competitive with the way that the money flows in our professional sports. And Brian Murphy characterized things as being a little bit more blunt going forward.
Yeah, based on my reporting, that is, I pushed for, you know, what the next step would be, which is, hey, we're out of here. And I don't think they're quite at that point yet. At least my reporting didn't indicate that. But I do think they've sort of stepped up their level of aggression when it comes to lobbying. Like, hey, this is becoming a competitive issue for us. These other teams and these other markets are getting this additional revenue. It's raising the salary cap, and we're not raising our revenue, so we're paying more. I think they're appealing to the sort of the business side of these lawmakers at this point.
Brian Murphy, WREL, joining us here on the OG. And Murph, I just saw, actually it was the Commanders wanted to add a casino to their stadium. They already have one for the Capitals and Wizards. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest with you. When you told us the last time you were on with us that they were going to put an actual sports book at PNC Arena, I always just thought, like, you're laughing at me. The truth is, I always just thought it would be on your phone. Yeah. Like, you would be, the geofencing would be such that you would be able to make a wager on the game because of where your phone is. I had no idea that the Panthers, the Hornets, and the Hurricanes are actually want to put a brick and mortar sports book in their buildings.
Yeah, not only them, but with the golf event happening, they'd be able to put up a temporary sports book at PGA Tour events as well, if you read the legislation. They'd have
Let's
these
go.
Facilities. I call them sports lounges.
I'll never see Giglio again unless we actually build a studio at one of these lounges that eventually will be here. We could do that. I have not seen Giglio this animated over something like the possibility of
No. That's actual, not what I thought you were saying.
An actual brick and mortar?
What?
Let's go.
An actual ticket? Not just my
ticket? That's the one question I haven't been able to, you know, if you read the legislation really closely, it seems to indicate you'd still have to bet like through a kiosk. Like, wouldn't it be like Vegas where you go in hand cash and they give you a ticket
probably for
and
the
you
best.
Slip it in your wallet? But But, you know, the sports teams think this is a great opportunity. I mean, at PNC Arena, they're talking about doing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of renovations. And one of the things they talked about is, where are we going to put a sports book? They see it as a huge money driver. I think the quote from the consultant was, it's a license to print money. And I think the Hurricanes see that and say, look, we're already behind on revenue from sponsorships and other things because of the market that we play in compared to Montreal and Toronto and New York and Boston. This is one way for us to kind of level the playing field. And lawmakers, you're not giving us that opportunity. I think they're trying to convey that message to lawmakers pretty clearly.
That's Brian Murphy, WRL.com, WRLSportsFan.com, who joined us earlier today. If you want to catch that full conversation, you can check it out on the Best of the OG podcast. Next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
So football is back. Hall of Fame game, preseason game was on display last night. The problem with the preseason game, the Hall of Fame game in particular, is that there was no real reason to watch unless you're a degenerate and you had some money on it. Let's just be real. So a suggestion. I'm watching the Ocho here in the studio, and right now on my television, we've got something called Omega Ball. You're asking, what the hell is Omega Ball? It is soccer played on a circular field with three teams. You're probably asking yourself, why? And I would respond to you, why not? So follow me here. The ratings for the Hall of Fame game last night, Julio, were got just about 5.5 million viewers. I mean, pretty good. A preseason game with no stakes is getting better ratings than a college football game, right? Got it. It's getting better ratings than a World Series game, you know? Like, I get all that stuff. But what if I told you that if you really wanted to go next level for the Hall of Fame game and get 20 million people to watch, we had not two teams on the field last night, but four.
You want to play the Top Gun beach football?
Yes.
Where you're on offense and defense at the same time?
At the same time. Do that if you want to. Put three football teams on the field, and they're all trying to run plays at once. That is something that I would absolutely watch. Of course, it would be too chaotic. There'd probably be injuries, and people would be upset about that. But, hey, ratings. At this point, might as well play rollerball.
I enjoyed the Hall of Fame game last night.
So you
even though I lost, I enjoyed it. So did Josh McDaniels. It was a homecoming for him. His dad coached high school there in Canton. I didn't factor that. The real play last night was to take the Raiders. Because Josh McDaniel not only had Daniel Carlson out there, their all-pro kicker, banging 55-yarders in the preseason when clearly Daniel Carlson doesn't need to be out there. He also had Amir Abdullah, who's going to be one of their third-down backs. Mm-hmm. Zamir White, their new rookie, who's probably going to be their feature back. You know how I know this? Because they had Josh Jacobs, who's supposed to be their starter and 1,000-yard rusher. He played the first two series, Joe. So Raiders score 20 points in the first half. They end up winning 27-11. The over doesn't hit until 3 minutes and 26 seconds left when Nathan Cottrell hits Kyle Slater on a 5-yard touchdown. Then Cottrell, just to rub it in, goes for two, runs it in. 27-11. 38 is more than 30.5. It was 27-3 with 4 minutes left. I'm glad I was asleep.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's no way
it was 20-0 at the half. I knew there would be 11 points. That's fine.
I watched Football Night in America, and then I dipped. That was
The game was delayed. There was lightning in the area.
Yep.
But I thought Football Night in America was actually pretty good. There's no more Drew Brees, who claims he's going to be the next Howard Cosell or whatever. I did enjoy Jason Garrett. I thought he was really good with Maria Taylor in Football Night in America.
I got a tweet yesterday from a listener, Tim. Tim will occasionally hit me up on Twitter with what I would classify as criticism from time to time, but not criticism in a way that I'd be like dismissive. Like, I got it. You know, it's to build you up, help you out. And yesterday I was having a little fun at the return of football and how this is the time of year where, whether you realize it or not, there are some people who signal to their families, I am so glad that football is back and I can ignore you now. Thank goodness. That's how it comes off sometimes with the excitement around football. Jillio, when I was doing this yesterday, Jillio was making a face at me like, man, you really put me out on the streets like that?
It doesn't have to be either or, Joe.
I'm just saying, sometimes people, like Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network says, For the first time since February 13th, football is back on TV. It's like, dude, relax. Put your pants back on. All right, keep that private. I mean, you do whatever you want to do. Ain't my place to judge, but you don't have to put it on Twitter. So 10 points out, NFL fans do like this time of year. Looking forward to and watching the first game of the year is not a negative. Seeing your draft picks, trying to make a team, hearing news during a broadcast of players during training camp, it's not a negative. I never said it was a negative. I mean, I'm engaged with Panthers updates every day. I'm the idiot that's sitting here going, ooh, how did Sam Darnold look today? What did Baker Mayfield do? And how is Matt Rhule going to spin this as though there's no clear leader in the clubhouse as to who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers this year? That's not what I was getting at. It wasn't that I was dismissing excitement. What I was making fun of is the telling on yourself part, where clearly nothing this summer gave you any joy. Nothing. Nothing. There was only one thing that could make you whole. Not a hobby, not checking out our new band, seeing some movies. No, no, no. I've been in a continue. And also, as if the NFL never took a break, right? Folks, for the first time since February 13th, we're going to talk about football. Y'all, we've been talking about football every freaking day since the Super Bowl. Whether it's the Super Bowl itself, the draft, after draft, free agency. Oh, and drama. So it's not like the NFL ever goes away. We live it 365 days a year. And I'm convinced that the games are secondary anyway, because there's no way you could do an hour-long pregame for a preseason game where none of the stars are going to play, because there's a bunch of other things going on. That was my point.